The world has indeed gone mad, still dealing, of course, with the Virginia Tech shootings and all of that. If only there was somebody that could speak to all of that, somebody that had written something brilliant called something like Armed Madhouse. Wouldn't that be something if someone like... Chris, who is it?
Investigative journalist Greg Pallast.
Get out, author of Armed Madhouse, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild.
The one and only.
What are the chances? Hi, Greg.
You crack me up every time. How do you do it?
I'm good, honey. How are you?
I can't live up to that.
So you got a paperback edition coming out now of Armed Madhouse.
Paperback with two new chapters because the evil don't stop. Well, so I had to add on. Every day I got to staple a new chapter to the book on Armed Madhouse because it's gotten more nuts. And
I've advised people that call in, Greg, that write books, you need to just wait on the Bush administration. It's everyone that does a book, have you noticed, has to furiously write like new chapters because you're just like, what?
Yeah, I'm just afraid that, you know, what if there's a new millennium and we're all saved and I got to find another job?
Yeah, there you go. Here's the new chapter that popped out at me, The Scheme to Swipe 2008.
That's right. It's because, you know, those who don't know Greg Pallast, I'm the reporter that broke the story about Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris, you know, wiped out those thousands of black voters off the voter rolls in 2000, called felons, but they were, you know, just voting while black.
Well, first of all, if you don't know who Greg Pallast is, you have no right to exist.
Hang up now, right. Yeah. But the thing is that I investigated the busted open the 2000 theft, and then in our madhouse after 2004, I wrote there's a chapter called Carrie Wan, Now Get Over It. But I figured I would report on the theft of 2008 in advance, because they are doing it right now. They really are, and that's what's not being covered. And in fact, and I couldn't make this one up, Stephanie. I kid you not. When the House Judiciary Committee in the current Gonzales hearings released the Karl Rove's emails, one of the emails written February 7th, the Rove bots were gloating that no U.S. media has picked up the investigations of that British reporter, Greg Pallast. I kid you not. And they hatched an excerpt of Armed Madhouse. I couldn't make this up, really.
Wow.
And so, which means, of course, that you have now angered Mr. Rove because you busted the omerta, Stephanie. But what they're doing is, so one of the things that they're doing, and we're having the Gonzales hearings today on
as we speak.
The prosecutor, yeah. As we speak.
Gee, isn't that weird that that name keeps popping up, Karl Rove?
Yeah, well, you know, I just was a bit nervous when Gonzales just took the oath of office and he had his fingers crossed. What does that mean?
Are you allowed to do that? Like, does that have legal weight?
He swore in the Necronomicon.
Actually, one of the things in our madhouse, I know that, you know, because I went through this whole investigation to prove that Paul Wolfowitz lied to Congress, and I was about to charge him with perjury. And then I found out, I kid you not, that when he testified to Congress about the weapons of mass destruction and they're going to throw flowers and all that, but I knew that, you know, he had other information, he couldn't be charged with perjury because he never took the oath before he testified.
That's not necessary when you work with the Bush administration, because it's clear that you'll be telling the truth.
So what happens is because his buddy Elliot Abrams went to the can for lying to Congress because he took the oath. If you don't take an oath, you cannot be charged with perjury. I didn't realize that. So, but anyway, that's the game. And Gonzales, what's happening with 2008, and this is where Gonzales and Rove and his emails and all that come in, is that while we're looking at the firing of somewhat honest prosecutors, I mean, they are guilty of being Republican, but they fired the honest prosecutors, but no one's looking at who they put in. And one of the guys that they put in is a guy named Tim Griffin, Karl Rove's right-hand hitman.
Mm-hmm.
This was the guy that you'll see in our madhouse that who actually organized at Rove's behest the wipeout of hundreds of thousands of black voters in the 2004 race. And that's never been covered in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It was front of the news.
Oh, it's been covered here. But yeah,
but,
I know what you mean.
Well, no, yes, it's been covered.
But that's what we're saying. But Greg, we've been saying that from day one about this attorney firing. That is what this is about. They are seriously nervous about people like you that have really been breaking the stories about the massive election fraud on the Republican side in 2000 and 2004. And so, of course, they got to get this out there that, oh, look, it's on both sides. There's a lot of voter fraud on the Democratic side, you know. And, of course, that was complete bull, you know what I'm saying.
Well, you know, in fact, one of the things I've got in our madhouse is a discussion with Iglesias, the guy that was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something had to be wrong because I have this weird – it's so weird that I have the transcript in the book because these Republicans, the state – a bunch of state legislators all at the same time. They couldn't be organized by Karl Rove, could they? All at the same time, all over the country, state legislators are waving pieces of paper in the air saying evidence of fraud by Democrats to vote twice, illegal aliens. And I asked this one woman whose name is Justine Fox Young, really. In New Mexico,
no, seriously.
And I said, could you send me the papers you were waving? No. I said, why not? She said, oh, there's a federal prosecution involving these cases being brought by U.S. Attorney Iglesias. I said, really? Could you give me his phone number? yeah. And so I called his office, and I said, so those papers being waived. So you're doing an investigation. You're nailing a couple guys. You're investigating guys committing voter fraud? No. Mm. I said, excuse me, are you saying that your fellow Republican politicians have just made up something out of thin air, that they are liars? And, of course, I got silence. I said, I guess that's an answer. So what I didn't realize is that he was at war with Rove and a bunch of these prosecutors.
Well, and the congressman that called him, Domenici, right, that called him in the middle of the night to pressure him into bringing the bogus case against Democrats right before the election. So he's being investigated, correct?
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah, Domenici is like a serious piece of work. But you know, Iglesias, I mean, you have to understand, he would not – look, he's a good Republican, but what he wouldn't do is start bringing cases. They were wanting him to actually charge a bunch of guys named Juan Gonzalez with voting twice. Believe it or not, there's a couple guys in Mexico named Juan Gonzalez. I can't make this stuff up.
Definitely. I know.
This is what they want him to do. And he's not – it's the McCarthy era is over, he thought. You can't wave pieces of paper in the air and start prosecuting people on bogus charges, all to create a hysteria, to create a movement for voter IDs, which knocked out 300,000 voters last time. You know, people didn't have the right ID according to, you know, some fat guy white with pimples behind a desk. Excuse me for you.
Sorry, this is our
large
producer.
American pimple Americans. Don't be offended, please. But yeah, that 300,000 people were knocked out, and Rove wants to pull that up to 1.3 million. And you know, this is the game, and so that's why I wrote the new chapter, The Theft of 2008, with a whole set of lists. And by the way, I actually have Karl Rove's email on this, not
cool.
The one knocking me, but the scheme. The Judiciary Committee is looking for the RNC emails. I have 500 of them because this guy is not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he missent. I'm telling you, he missent a lot of the emails, and I've been gathering up the ones that fell out of the office, copied to wrong addresses, etc. There's a way of doing that, and that's how I got busted open this scheme. But you know.
Wow. All right. Well, Greg, before you go, I want to get your take on the Virginia Tech thing. So John McCain, of course, just yesterday said there should be no gun control. Because he has to, you know, suck up to the NRA as quickly as possible to get elected. So this has absolutely nothing to do with guns now at all.
Well,
that's not even part of it.
I got something else for you. I'm sorry to bring back the armed madass, but there's a section of the book called Put Down That Lawsuit Partner, No One Gets Hurt. Did you know that when 30 people died, that was just an edge of a 30,000 death a year massacre. 30,000 people a year die in America from gunshot wounds. Right. And what George Bush did about it was in July of 2005, he signed a law which immunized gun manufacturers from lawsuits against negligent use of their product. Cops don't get that immunity. Stephanie doesn't get that immunity. Teachers don't get that immunity. Gun makers, July 2005, Bush signed that bill. And what that did is that protected Glock. There was that guy, kid had a Glock, Glock 7. They protect Glock and Walther and all these guys who are sending literally millions of firearms into places like Georgia and Texas that they know aren't going to be sold there, shoved up the iron pipeline into places like Virginia, Washington, New York, Detroit, where they're used for things other than, believe it or not, Glock, used for doing things other than bringing down big-horned elk.
Yeah, exactly.
The companies don't know that that's what their guns are going for, so now they are immunized, Mr. Bush.
Oy.
And you know who, by the way, you know who designed that law for him?
Who?
Ken Lay.
Friend Ken Lay. Greg, I'm so sorry. We could always do 3 hours with you. We are so excited to get you on every time. But the book is Armed Madhouse. Greg is going to be out our way here in Los Angeles on April 28th. That's next Saturday for the L.A. Festival of Books. All this info is in our blog section at stephaniemiller.com.
Yes.
And in the evening, I'll be out there, too, doing a fundraiser for community radio. Stephanie, you're the best.
Thank you, honey. You, too. Greg Palast, everybody. There he goes. So much you can talk to him about. You
too
bad
he has nothing to say.
Yes, he's so shy.
Yeah.
I want to see that Karl Rove email.